You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Mutinoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show today. It's Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We have lots of guests lined up for you. Our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, is going to join us after the 9:30 news. Donald Trump says it's completely regular that a convicted sex offender gets moved to club fed, essentially.
Yeah.
Minimum security prison. It's all good. Nothing to see here. Does that really happen? With a lot of convicted sex offenders, that they get sent to minimum security prisons. Jim Santel, who used to be a U.S. attorney and is still an acting attorney, he knows the law.
Mm-hmm.
We're lawyer adjacent. Jim will explain whether or not, of course, this just happens every day. I'm thinking no.
I truly have no idea. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to incriminate myself. Also, I just don't want to look stupid.
Just take the fifth.
Exactly.
Next hour, a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's meteorologist. We have very hot weather coming in. We might get some rain, I guess thunderstorms a little bit later on this afternoon. And then I think it's going to be a steamy, steamy weekend. So Brittany will join us for that, a little update. And then we're going to talk about our boys. Our boys.
Oh, now everyone loves the Brewers.
Well, it's called bandwagon, baby. Yes.
Fifth sweep in a month.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It really did not seem possible at the beginning of the season.
We lost to the Yankees like 20-3 or 20-4.
Yes, those agonizing early days of the
gosh.
Season. But what a turnaround for the
Holy
Brewers.
Holy crumb.
So Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe will join us after 10:30 to talk about the Brewers and what is coming up. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the what a long, strange trip it's been. Getting trippier, too.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
For that. Wanted to start off with a really good piece in the Wisconsin Examiner. This is an opinion piece from Ruth Conniff, but we will include this in our show notes if you would like to read the article itself. And essentially, she's talking about how things are working in Wisconsin or not working in Wisconsin when it comes to this $4 billion budget surplus that we're sitting on. And our legislature never seems to want to do anything with that money except dole it out in tax cuts.
Correct.
There's no investing into systems that might need bolstering.
Yes. And it's $4.6
billion.
$4.6 billion. And I think that's important to say. If it was 4.1 or it is teetering between $4.5 and $5 billion in surplus money that could be spent on education, on infrastructure, investing in small business. I mean, conservation,
water.
There is so much that can be done with this money.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, this from the article on the Wisconsin Examiner, and state lawmakers cut taxes by $1.3 billion in the new state budget. So that's a quarter of this budget surplus. Mm-hmm. This tax cut we'll go out to Wisconsinites who earn up to $200,000. You're going to get a tax break worth about $180.
Which,
better than a rock to the back of the head.
It's better than a rock to the back of the head. It's better than a poke with a stick. But if you think about that, $1.3 billion, if you qualify, if it all works out, you get up to an average of $180. So,
right.
I'm happy with giving. I feel lucky I'm able to give that up and say, look, take that money and pay for schools. Fix the roads. Do something with this, but don't give it back to me. I mean, that pays for some subscriptions on streaming. That does some things. That pays for maybe a month of groceries.
For a two-person household, maybe.
Which we are.
Yeah.
But also, this one of the things that I remember when I hear this story, and this is nothing new, by the way. That's the point for me personally. This is nothing new.
Right.
Over a decade ago, we were sitting on a surplus. Thank you, Governor Doyle. And the Republicans decided to dole it out as a tax credit to homeowners that averaged between $13 to $75 to $100, depending on your house. Once again, free money. It's not free money, but money is nothing to shake a stick at. But
I'll take it.
It's better invested into our state, into our communities. And then years later, they did the same thing to parents where they said, we're going to give you money back, parents. And it came out about $100.
Well, and that essentially is the point of this opinion piece in the Wisconsin Examiner. Yeah, those little, that $180, mm-hmm. that $100, that's great. But then we have to keep raising property taxes mm-hmm. in order to invest in services like water and roads and schools.
Yes.
So that $180, so that $100 that you got back from the state in the form of tax cut is now going back to the state or your municipality mm-hmm. in order to pay for services that you need.
And in Kenosha this year, they voted down a property tax increase to fund schools. It was like one of the few that didn't pass. And the people, and when the people have to say, they're going to say no, well, that's bad for our schools, even though we have people who are, like, I voted yes. I don't have children. I don't have children in school.
And you were still willing to pay more.
I was still willing to pay more because I know that our schools can benefit from that. But people, if they have the choice and they say no, then that comes down and the community has said no, then they're up a crick and they're not going to be able to fund certain things. But meanwhile, there is a literal pile of money in Madison. And they're going to say, let's chop a fourth of that off and give it back to the people. And the overarching problem for me is that they don't care how much goes back to the people, because that homeowner's tax credit that came through was $13 to $75 per household. If you owned a home, by the way.
Right.
If you rented, you got nothing.
Yeah, that was not, yeah, didn't do you any good.
That doesn't matter to them. What matters is that to them is they get to say, we gave you a tax break.
We got you a tax cut.
That's all we, tax cut,
yay
tax
us.
Cut, tax cut.
Yay
we
us.
Love tax cuts. Well, I only got $13, but I gave you a tax cut. Instead of taking
that $13 and putting it back into our schools.
Well, and I know that now once reelected, school superintendent Jill Underly asked for $4 billion. We talked about that extensively.
And we knew that was never going
to
happen.
That was a lot of money. But if they would have just committed to like $1.5 billion over 10 years and say, we're going to take half of it from the surplus and get the other half through various means of fundings. But for 10 years, we're going to give you $1.5 billion. And maybe that's not enough in that time frame. I'm just using it as I'm picking a number. That is a fantastic investment of surplus money that is doing nothing at this point. We could have used surplus money to fund the Brewers improvements that needed to happen. Governor Evers put forth a plan that came from the surplus. Republicans said no. Instead, they put together, I think, a $600 million package, which was three times more than Governor Evers' proposal. That didn't come from the surplus either. So why do we even have this money? Just go Joker style. Pour gasoline on it and set it on fire.
We're talking about an article in the Wisconsin Examiner, if you're just joining us on Matt Nair on Air. It's an opinion piece from Ruth Conniff and talking about, again, this big budget surplus that we have here in Wisconsin, which the Republicans only ever seem to want to dole out in the form of tax cuts as opposed to investments in things like public schools and roads and water systems. I think this is a really great paragraph in here. The assumption that drives this tax cutting mania at the state and national level is that we shouldn't have to spend money toward collective public goods. We should all pay our own way, which is great if you can hire your own private security mm-hmm. and send your kids to private schools and not have contact with the rest of society, pretty much. It is cheaper and better for all of us to support a decent society for all of us.
That was our belief. I mean, we've had that belief in some way, shape, or form since the inception of this country. Major problems notwithstanding, because we don't have time. But I'm thinking of America post World War II. We're out of World War II. Economy is booming. We want nothing more than to send our kids to school, to work a good job, get a pension, buy that house in the suburbs. We wanted to do what America told us to do.
For all of us.
For all of us. Because if you do that thing, Jane, if you and your husband and your kids do that thing, well, then you're going to create and add to the economy, and that will make us better together. Our schools will be stronger. Our businesses will grow bigger. And then somewhere in the 70s and 80s, someone said, you know what I really love? I love so much money and so much power. Jane and her husband and her kids, I don't care what happens to them. And because of that, you stop caring about your neighbors, and then they stop caring about their neighbors. And now, 70 years later, we have this mentality of, I'm not going to help you even if you were on fire.
And greed is good.
And greed.
We've really, really embraced greed is good from the 80s.
Greed isn't good, Jane. Greed is cool.
Yeah. Wisconsin Republicans were unwilling to spend $4 million. Think about this. This is 0.004% of the entire state budget, $4 million. Republicans in Wisconsin would not spend $4 million to maintain veteran services to keep military vets from becoming homeless.
To those people out there who don't like us, and trust me, I know, you get on the live stream and you email us, we know you don't like us. I'm at the point now where I'm going to start telling you, you don't get to say you care about vets, because time and time again, the Republican Party and Democrats don't do much better.
Yes.
But the Republican Party actively denies vets their benefits, their access. They deny them the honor they deserve and the services they have earned through fighting for our country or just serving for our country. It is ridiculous. It is offensive. Anytime they vote against veterans' needs or interests, I don't understand how they get to stand up with an American flag pin and go, we need to remember the troops.
Well, but again, there's a lot of lip service on both sides.
Yes, absolutely.
Not only for our veterans, but for law enforcement as well. I think they use them when it's useful.
But I think we can agree that Republicans at this point now use them more.
Well, and I think we go back to Mike Johnson and the House Republicans still refusing to put up this plaque honoring the Capitol police officers mm-hmm. who protected our lawmakers on January 6th. That is supposed to be up by law. And Mike Johnson is refusing to do that.
Because there are people in that party who say no one died that day. Therefore, no one died because of it. And that is their, it is disgusting.
Just a regular tourist day. All right, on the way, are you looking for a job? There's openings. The only requirement, bring your own mask. All the details coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, is going to be joining us. Donald Trump's, it happens all the time that we take convicted sex offenders and move them to minimum security prison so they can go golfing and stuff. Who doesn't do that? Jim will be here to explain just how regularly that happens, or perhaps not. I did want to start off with this. We've been hearing, of course, that ICE, the anti-immigration terrorism unit, is looking for, they're looking for people.
Yep.
They're looking for jobs. And of course, if you listen to Kristi Noem, everything's great. They have so many people applying. There's no recruitment problems. That really doesn't seem to be the truth. Immigration and Customs Enforcement on Tuesday announced in an internal email They would offer cash bonuses to agents for deporting people quickly. We'll give you a cash bonus if you can grab someone off the street and get them deported quickly, then you make extra money. Oops, once the word got out about that, about 4 hours later, the agency canceled this 30-day pilot program. An official in ICE's Field Operations Division says, please disregard the earlier email where we're going to offer you cash bonuses.
Sorry, I'm not laughing. I love the email follow-ups.
Never mind.
That was a draft.
We take it back.
That was a draft.
We take it back. Department of Homeland Security said yesterday it is now removing age limits for new hires at ICE. New applicants will no longer have to face these age limits, so even more patriots will qualify. Currently, ICE applicants must be 21 and no older than 37 or 40, depending upon their position. But Christy Noem now says applicants can be as young as 18. Quote, we no longer have a cap on how old you can be or you can continue at age 18. Sign up for ICE and join us and be a part of it. We'll get you trained and ready to be equipped to go out on the streets and helped protect families, unquote, from Christy Noem. The department said all recruits do have to go through medical and drug screening and complete a physical fitness test, Dean Kane.
Well, I was going to say, I'm glad they got rid of the age restrictions because 59-year-old Dean Kane is put out there. Oh, Dean Kane, you forgot who he was. He played Superman.
Long time ago. Clark Kent
on The Adventures of Clark and Lois.
The TV show.
The TV show, which was actually very good.
It was good.
And he came out saying that he is joining ICE to help do his part to serve. And there's a couple things. First of all, dude, 59. He's 59 years old. I'm sorry, but I don't think he's going to... I think he's going to be more the guy standing behind the front lines going, good job, everybody.
Go get him.
But also, let's just look at it for a moment. He played Superman, who, for better or for worse, qualifies as an immigrant. He is a literal alien to this country. I know Superman's not real, but does any of this feel real anymore? He played Superman.
He did.
He also came out and said the new Superman is too woke because... they made mention that he is an immigrant.
Oh, gosh.
They didn't make it part of the... it wasn't the overall point of the movie. But also, Dean Cain's father is Japanese.
And was interned.
Yep. He was an internment camp. He was put into a camp by this country in the Second World War because he just was Japanese. And Dean Cain has said, well, while it is a horrific thing... yes, it was... he doesn't want reparations. Okay. No one was offering. And that we need to, it's not the same, essentially. You are signing up for an organization that will take people and put them into cages around the country or outside this country simply for being who they are. And let us not forget that while they say hundreds and thousands are being arrested, criminals are being arrested, they're finding more and more people who don't have criminal records who are being taken off the street.
Grabbed off the streets.
Grabbed out of immigration court.
By masked people with no identification.
Yeah.
How is this legal?
It's not.
How is it legal that you can send armed gangs into our streets with masks on and they can just pull up to people and grab them off the street? I don't know. If I saw the people approaching me like that, I'd assume they had bad intentions.
I don't think they care about the legal or illegality of it all. They just do it because they know they can do it at this point. And if they've messed up, Jane, it's someone else's problem. They'll deal with it later. My job is to simply pick the person up and make sure that they're gone.
If they're not given due process, exactly. if they're
what
abused,
am I, a lawyer, Jane?
Yeah, that's not on me.
I just find it wildly, wildly, I don't even want to say offensive. It's crazy that a guy who played Superman is joining ICE to disappear people off the street.
Especially when you look at his family situation.
Oh, yeah. Just a hypocrite from start to finish.
Well, again, they got openings.
Yeah. If you
but they're not having recruitment problems. It's all fine. It's all good. People just lining up to snatch people off the street while wearing masks.
And they might not be giving you a cash bonus up front, but there are, and this is for real, they give bonuses after the fact too. The ICE is like a Wall Street trading firm. You can make big money.
We'll have all these articles in our show notes. Check it out. Coming up, how often do convicted sex offenders get sent to Club Fed? Jim Santel will explain. Stay with us right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers are off today, but they're back into action tomorrow. Our broadcast tomorrow will start at 6:35 as the Brewers host the Mets. And you can catch the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. The crew hosting the Mets tomorrow night at 6:35 is when our broadcast will start. He joins us every Thursday-ish at this time, Jim Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Jane, Greg, good to be with you. I see that neither one of you this morning is in a minimum security prison of the Bureau of Prisons.
Not today.
Just in my mind, man.
Greg's in a prison of his own making, but that's a whole nother show. As are we all. No, we are not in a minimum security prison. And one of the things I really wanted to talk to you about, Jim, Ghislaine Maxwell, who was convicted of child sex trafficking in connection to the Jeffrey Epstein case. She was in a federal prison in Florida, I believe.
In Tallahassee,
Florida. And then Donald Trump, his Justice Department, wanted to talk to her. So they moved her to Club Fed in Texas. And Trump officials are saying this happens all the time. This happens all the time that people who are convicted of federal crimes get moved to a minimum security prison. Does this happen all the time, Jim Santel?
You may be surprised. You won't be surprised to hear that this is yet another situation where my president, my White House, says something that's just affirmatively wrong, is not the case. And so the Bureau of Prisons, which is a unit of the Department of Justice, for what it's worth, it actually consumes the lion's share of the budget of the Department of Justice is Bureau of Prisons. And what happens here is precisely what you just articulated, Jane. She is at this fairly medium security prison for people who have committed very serious offenses. Again, sex trafficking is a violent crime. It is a violent crime. We need to understand that. And there are concerns about safety and security of the community, of the nation. And you also want to send those deterrent messages to those people who would do it. You commit this crime, you're convicted 20 years in prison, and you will spend the rest of that time in a minimum to high security prison because of that. What happens is exactly what you said. Curiously, my Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, goes down and visits with her for a couple of days in Tallahassee. Still no transparency on what that was or is all about. Curious for him to go down there. Odd that all this is happening. She is convicted. Yes, she's appealing. She's got that right. There's no further investigative piece to do here. Why he's going down there, we do not know. And then, as you just said, she's moved to this place in Bryan, Texas. And I have never been there, although I have some familiarity with BOP facilities around the country from photographs and other things. It is called one of these Club Fed locations because of the freedom that people who are there have. They are not violent criminals. There are people who are not at risk of flight. It's got a fence around the perimeter that, frankly, Calvin could very easily catapult beyond, and the three of us could probably do the same as well.
If Greg gave me a leg up, we could probably get
I'd probably
be
like, I'll just stay
easily.
Here. I'm tired.
Right. All kinds, again, inside prisons, good to have programs, all kinds of programs offered to these folks, which are positive things. And again, here's the point of all of that. This is beyond a typical Bureau of Prison standards that it's almost a chart that says if you've are convicted of these serious violent offenses, you will end up in one of these various facilities, medium to high security. This is not it. I dare say it's extraordinary. I don't want to say it's never, ever happened before, but I'll bet you can count it on one hand, situations like this. It is extraordinary. And once again, one wonders what is happening next. Is this in anticipation? Heaven forbid that my president should grant her a pardon, some clemency, something else is happening. I want the Congress not to engage in any negotiations with her about her testimony that would contemplate a congressional grant of immunity. She should be done. Spend the next 20 years in prison. Stay there. I don't want to hear from you again, candidly. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing, we care about the victims. Let's focus on that and be done with this. And yet the president continues to make this his worst political nightmare just by doing these kinds of things and keeping all of this very much in the news.
And that's something I want to keep in the conversation every single time we discuss this. And you just brought it up as well. The closer she gets to freedom, the less we'll ever have justice for the survivors and their families.
Yes.
And for individuals who made it their banner, their war, their reason for being was to find out who was on that list, to get people in court, to get them convicted and thrown in jail, or in their minds, maybe worse. They're just saying, it's fine, don't worry about it. But that they'll never get that satisfaction either. Right. And if they truly believe it, if they truly want this, they're never going to get this if they stand behind a president who is allowing this to take place right now. The justice will never be served, and these survivors will never be thought of again after that. They'll never be in the movement. And honestly, we don't really talk about them too much. We talk about her. We talk about Epstein. We talk about Trump. But there are real living, breathing consequences of their actions in this country right now. And they will get no justice, no time in court, and they will not have closure. And that is truly, truly disgusting.
If you're just joining us, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review across the network on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, is our guest here on Matt Nair on Air. And we're talking about the Ghislaine Maxwell case. Trump sends a guy who was his personal attorney, who now works for the Department of Justice, to talk to this woman one-on-one, nobody else there. And then after this little chat they have, they move her to a minimum security prison where life is apparently good. The victims, speaking of, are outraged by this and horrified by this. And the one thing that I keep going back to, Jim, you know, James Comer, Comer now is the head of the House Oversight Committee, and he's issued subpoenas on who he wants to talk to related to the Epstein Maxwell situation. And it's Bill and Hillary Clinton, and it's Robert Mueller, who had nothing to do with the Epstein.
Was Eric Holder on that list too?
Eric Holder.
If he's not, why not put him on the list? Yeah. Right?
Put Santa on the list, for heaven's sakes. You know who's not on the list that these Republicans don't seem to want to talk to? Any of the victims. Alex Acosta. I am going to keep harping on this until I drop over. Alex Acosta is the one. He was the official in Florida who made that original sweetheart super deal for Jeffrey Epstein, where he got to spend the night in jail and essentially go out and live his life. And then Alex Acosta was appointed to the Trump administration. Nobody wants to talk to him. I find that glaring. That just is amazing to me, Jim.
It is glaring. It's all the other adjectives that the three of us use every Thursday morning and beyond, every single day when you get this kind of, this is, again, congressional action. You're absolutely right. If you really want to focus on doing oversight and passing meaningful legislation that would impact the lives of people who are victimized by the horrific sex trafficking of which this is a part, by the way, we know well, at least one of those young women committed suicide because of her involvement. Epstein Maxwell situation. Her family is one of those, Jane, speaking out, as you just said. If the Congress was really interested in finding out more about this, yes, you can call people in from the Department of Justice, from state agencies as well. We'll talk with you about how trafficking happens. what the nature of the offense is all about. We do have anti-trafficking statutes in place. I've used them as a former federal prosecutor to prosecute. You want to focus on that? Victim services, that's what the Congress should do. The Comer thing, once again, in a matter that has no further investigative dimension, there's nobody else out there to prosecute, nobody else out there to identify that has a legitimate law enforcement or even congressional purpose. This is political and, again, offensive, absolutely. And the list of people plainly intended, once again, to satisfy just some these general things that we throw out there. It's a hoax. This is a conspiracy. What is a hoax? Define for me what is going on here. These two people engage in horrific events. One of them committed suicide. Yes, that's a tragedy. A second one went to trial. She's got that right. She's been convicted, and she needs to spend the next 20 years in prison. Let us support the victims. Let's hear that from a United States senator and be done with this political stuff that advances nothing in the interests of American people, aside from addressing maybe some prurient interest, the things I read on those little newspapers at the grocery store. Aside from that, there's nothing more to do here. It is, once again, shameful that the Congress is doing that.
But the biggest problem is they created this monster.
Absolutely.
They created this Frankenstein by promising over and over again, all the details are coming out. We're going to release everything once Trump comes in. He's the most transparent person on the planet. And then now it's like, oh, there's nothing to see here.
Well, and there's going to be absolutely nobody standing up saying anything with regard to elected officials. If you want a Republican standing up or a Democrat standing up or an independent standing up, because Mike Johnson sent them all home.
Run away.
Yes, so they couldn't vote on this to begin with. So really, it comes down to, and for me, this notion of you made this your calling card, your battle cry. And now if you are sitting here saying, well, we don't know, if you're doubting it and you no longer want justice and you no longer want answers, you no longer get to be the ones who get to care about this. You don't get to take it up. If you don't think this is the top of priority thing for you as far as finding out who's on that list, and you're saying it's a hoax or we spent too much time on this or he's dead, guess what? I don't have to trust you anymore in the things you say you believe, because this is huge. This is so important. And the fact that people can just change their mind says so much about that mentality of motivation towards a moral issue when they have no morality to begin with.
And here's the other important point to remember. The administration, including the attorney general, could bring this to a conclusion this afternoon. Not the grand jury stuff, that's not disclosable. The rest of the file, which is not protected by Rule 6E, she does, in fact, have possession of that by a click of a button. She could release that. I promise you, a lot of that is very boring. It's not interesting. It's thousands of pages of stuff. And yes, it may identify some of the people, non-victims, involved in this. Prurient interest there, getting that out there, sure. Take care of this tomorrow, Madam Attorney General. Bring all this to an end, release those documents, and be done with this.
Yes, but the president said it out loud yesterday or the day before. We want to make sure that there are people who shouldn't be on that list. Oopsie, oops, what did I just say? Jim Santel is our guest host of Amicus, a law review, chasing down Democrats from Texas. That's coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is the host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11. It's a fabulous show. Mm-hmm. I highly encourage you to check it out. Jim Santel is our guest, a former U.S. attorney, also an acting attorney. That makes us attorney adjacent. Therefore, we are knowledge adjacent. That's how we like to place ourselves.
I think you're all honorary attorneys. I'm going to put together some certificates. honorary lawyers.
Well, that's
I love it, by virtue of
all of your work here on Civic Media and beyond.
We'll take that.
I'm wearing my T-shirt. My friend Brad Wenzel is a comedian. Monster Truck Law. That's what I'll be doing.
There we go. One thing I want to say real briefly, Gesundheit, about Ghislaine Maxwell before we move on to what's happening in Texas, Jim. There have been whitewashing attempts I've already seen on some of the more right-wing networks. On Newsmax in particular, it was, you know, Ghislaine, she was kind of a victim too.
Oh.
So they're trying to make her, you know, that poor woman, poor Ghislaine. And I'm also hearing the other whitewashing about, Alan Dershowitz was on somebody's podcast and defending Jeffrey Epstein because technically he wasn't a pedophile because he wasn't after children, just teenage girls.
Where do we begin with that? Those particular gems, right? And I would make reference to, not that everyone has immediate access to it, but you can go back to the evidence presented during her trial. And not only does she engage in the trafficking events, that is arranging for, manipulating communications and identifying people, victims, yes, she doesn't regard them as that. She regards them obviously as property to be used as a part of her horrific behavior. But you can find not only that, she herself engaged in the sexual abuse, the sexual offense, the sexual engagement with some of these young girls. And had he gone to trial, we've never seen that in particular. Again, it's in the file, Madam Attorney General, if you want to bring these to an end, about what Jeffrey Epstein did. I do not pretend to be a psychologist, but the man is sitting in federal custody awaiting the complete exposure of all that he has done. He's facing the rest of his life in prison. And yes, he committed suicide. That is a tragic event for any human being, but it's also a reflection of his own knowledge of what is in the presentation that he was about to face. Had that case gone to trial.
Oh, Jim just froze up.
Whitewashing.
There we go.
And would have said that indeed this did all take place. Do not try to make a Ghislaine a scapegoat. She is not. Do not try to resurrect him. He was at the head of this terrible, terrible activity.
Which reminds me, by the way, James Comer, call Bill Barr, too. He'd be a good one to talk to. Yes. He'd be a good one to question. Jim Santel is our guest. We got a couple of minutes left, Jim. So the Democrats in Texas have left Texas, so they couldn't have a quorum. Essentially, the governor called a special session not to help the people who were devastated in the July floods, and they are still suffering down there. There are horrible reports coming out of Texas and the lack of help they're getting. Not just from the federal government, from the state government, but the whole reason was to, they want to force this redistricting. And that's why the Democrats left, which is very similar to what the Democrats did in Wisconsin under Walker and the whole, surprise, Act 10 drop.
Right. And so what you have here is an initiative that's cleaning up quite a bit, initiated by the White House. They produced this revised map of proposed congressional districts in Texas. They send it down there. I'm thinking once again of Donald Trump and his Sharpie redefining various lines, this time to recraft the congressional districts in Texas so there will be five majority Republican districts, an uptake of about five new districts, changing dramatically what has already been done in Texas and Wisconsin and every other state right after the census. We engage in all this behavior, and we'll do it again. We're supposed to do it again in about 5 years.
Right.
There's nothing legally wrong with a legislature doing it, but when you're doing it for the express purpose of giving to this president a majority in the House of Representatives, which he, any president, would not otherwise have by the lines that you just drew a few years ago, then you know you're doing something out of partisan pursuits and, frankly, even animus. We do have the members of the House, the Democrats who fled. And frankly, there's a lot of precedent in Texas. It goes back to the late 19th century for representatives to do just this. There's a strong tradition there. We know where they are. They're on the news. They're in hotels in Chicago. And so we get this extraordinary report again from Senator Cornyn saying, we're going to get the FBI. The FBI is now going to identify them and presumably do what? Arrest them for what crime? It's just ridiculous. And in the end, again, it's not going to happen, but Governor Abbott and the rest of them and the president need to back off of this plan. The other part of this, of course, it's spreading.
Yes.
And that's the big news.
Yes.
Right. On the other side, you've got the Democrats in Illinois and in New York and certainly in California talking about the same thing. My former boss, Eric Holder, now coming out and saying, you know what? I'm now in favor of gerrymandering because we've got to fight fire with fire. And that's extraordinary, too. And that may well be the thing that's going to consume us for the next 12 to 15, less than 15 months. Are we going to start redistricting every congressional district in America? Is that what we're facing? That's what you have caused, Mr. President. That's what you've caused.
You can't run a country on reaction. Well, you just can't.
And if your programs and your policies are so popular and everyone loves them so much, why do you have to gerrymander to such an extent?
There's
questions there. Jim Santel has been our guest, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network. Thank you so much, Jim. We will see you next Thursday.
Always a delight, my friends. Take care.
News is coming up next. And then efforts to rewrite history continue. We'll have all the details coming up. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.